Let's take a look at 1 John. We're going through 1 John together. And last week we started the book of 1 John. We learned that it was written by the Apostle John, and he gave four reasons for writing it that we talked about. And you can see them summarized up on the screen here. I'm just going to leave them up so that as I'm teaching, as we're going through this together, that we can keep that in our minds. Oh yeah, this is where we're supposed to be. This book is focused in on these things. And those things are, number one, fellowship with God and other believers. And number two, fullness of joy. Because fellowshipping with God and other believers brings fullness of joy. Free from practicing sin and assurance of salvation. Those are the four reasons that John gave for writing this book. So let's remain focused on those things. So last week we did cover verses 1 through 4, and we focused in on how Jesus is eternal. And Jesus physically dwelt among us. Jesus is the source and sustainer of life. Indeed, Jesus is life. Jesus was with the Father, meaning face to face with the Father for all eternity. And then he left to some degree that glory that he had with the Father to become a man, 100% man, a high priest that we can relate to because he was a man just like we are, except without sin. And he was also 100% God. Let's not lose that. 100% man, 100% God. And so then he, of course, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins. He died for us, and he died as us. I like that. I like that, as us. Because you know how you have character flaws? And it's not just a sinful behavior, but you're like, there's a flaw in me. Jesus died as me. And I just love that. And so then he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and he is now with the Father, enjoying that glory that he once enjoyed before he came to the earth as a man. And he's waiting for us. He's gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also, we're told, in John chapter 14, and that is exciting. And then then we learned about the Apostle John declares his firsthand witness to us so that we can join the firsthand witnesses, all those that saw Jesus and experienced him and received him, we can and all the brethren through time immemorial in their fellowship with the Father and with the Son. He wants to have fellowship with us, koinonia, oneness, communion. It's a beautiful thing, and it's an incredible special privilege that we have as believers to enjoy that oneness with God and with one another. And he writes this so that our joy may be full. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Can you feel it? When you're worshiping God, and it's really worship, you're not just listening to music. Because sometimes, you know, we listen to Christian music and we're just listening to music. But then other times, we're actively worshiping God, aren't we? And oh, the presence of the Lord is there. The Bible says that he inhabits, he dwells in, he lives in the praises of his people. And when we're in that place and the fullness of joy is there, where all the concerns that you had moments before possibly are just gone because you're in worship. There's nothing that helps me more than getting into worship when it comes to letting the cares of this world go. And of course, listening to truth, getting in the Word, right? Getting that truth in me, reminding myself of the truths of God from His Word. And then, there's a release, and the burdens begin to fall off. And it's like, nothing else matters but you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You've got this. You have got this. You've got it under control. Every problem I have, It's yours, Lord God, and we cast our cares on him because he cares for us. And that's fellowship. We're fellowshipping with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're having that fullness of joy. And now we're going to take a look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. So let's go ahead and read that together. We're starting here in verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank you, Jesus. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Lord, again, we pray for your word, that you would speak right now, that we would receive what you have to say and not push you away. In Jesus' name, amen. And so verse 5 says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. I love that the Apostle John first recognizes that the message comes from the Lord. My dad always taught me, hey, first get your message from God. First get your message from God. Because, you know, that's what all of us need, is we need a message from God. You don't need a message from James. You don't. You need a message from the Lord. And that's why we stick to the Word of God. Amen? And so the message that John heard from the Lord, he's now declaring. And I encourage that in your own ministry as well. Because, you know, and this is really hard on the flesh. This is really hard on the flesh. But when you are called out to teach or to share, do a devotion, or even if it's your family or something like that, and you might think, oh, well, I'll just share whatever. Okay, here's something from the Word. Here you go. You know, you can do that, but there might be something specific that the Holy Spirit wants to say. In fact, there is. And so that's why it's always a great thing to do, to pray over it, to bathe it in prayer. And the reason I say it's hard on the flesh is because you kind of just, like, you get nervous about doing it, right? You get nervous about stepping out and serving the Lord in this way or in whatever way you're going to serve the Lord. And you want to just have a solution for it right away. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. Boom, boom, boom. All right, got it. Now I can feel comfortable. I can feel comfortable. And God says, wait, wait, wait. I want you to wait on me. I want you to hear from me. I have a word for the people. And so I want to give you that word first. So come away with me. Let's get alone together. Let's talk, pray, and let me reveal to you what it is that I have to say first. And sometimes God might do that at the last minute. It's happened to me. It's happened to me where I'm like, Lord, I just don't know exactly how this is going to come out, and we're in worship right now. And God's like, here it is. He's actually given me, oh, that's a great opener, Lord, right there. As, you know, we're closing in worship and it's time to get out. Oh, that's great, Lord, thank you. You see? And man, the flesh screams when God does stuff like that, but he's just getting the glory, isn't he? Oh, he's getting the glory. Because you're like, I didn't think of this on my own, but God gave this to me. And God wants to do that with you. And we trust him, right? We trust him for that message. Praise the Lord. And so the message then, he says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. What's the message? That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Let that sink in. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Pure light. The Apostle Paul says that God dwells in unapproachable light. Pure light. Beautiful. Now, he is so good to create in nature analogies for us, things to make this come alive and really help us to understand better. And so he created the sun. He made the sun. And what I want to do for a good portion of our time today is talk about the sun, S-U-N, and how the sun, S-U-N, illustrates the sun, S-O-N, and God himself. And there's lessons to be learned there that we can just kind of soak in, and then hopefully after this message today, and you go out, and you go into the sun, and you go, whoa, God, you're awesome. You know, because he has the ministry of light, and he is light. And so the sun, light, the sun gives us light so we can see. Aren't we thankful for that? But the first thing I want to talk about with the sun is it gives us energy for life. Think about that, right? Without the sun, of course, we wouldn't have warmth and we'd all freeze. And so in order to have life, we need the warmth from the sun. Without the sun, we wouldn't have plant life because plants get their energy for photosynthesis, right, from the sun. And so they take water and they take carbon dioxide, right? They soak up the water and they breathe through their leaves, they breathe in the carbon dioxide. And then the light from the sun synthesizes those things to create carbohydrates, which is usable for growth. And so the plants then grow and flourish, and the cows eat the plants, and we eat the cows, unless you're vegetarian, which is fine. We eat the plants, and we eat the cows, and then we grow and flourish. And all that energy comes from the sun. It's awesome. And then we can also think about the weather, how it's powered by the sun. All the weather and the water cycle, right? The light from the sun shines down on the ocean, and all those electromagnetic waves that are light that are coming from the sun beat down on the ocean and warms it up, and then we have evaporation, and the moisture gets in the air, and then it rises, and it cools, and it condenses. And then because the sun warms up certain areas more than others, and warm air rises and cool air comes in to replace it, we get breezes and we get winds. And those breezes and winds take the moisture that's now in the form of a cloud and blows it towards the land. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the sun. And so then we get our rain, and wasn't the rain lovely yesterday, watering the earth? And, you know, as that air comes up, it gets to the mountains and it gets forced up and it cools more and there's more moisture and the rain comes down and waters our earth. And it's all powered by the sun. Isn't that incredible? Energy for life, for life. Take a look at John chapter 8, verse 12. Short verse, but let's get some activity going on here. And the flipping of the pages or the clicking of the buttons to go to the scriptures. John 8, verse 12. And it says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And that is just what we've described as the function of the sun, one of them, is to bring energy for life. The sun is the light of life. And what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, I am the sun, and I am the light of life. There is no life apart from me, says Jesus. Just like there is no life apart from the sun. and he's comparing himself to the light of the world, which physically is our sun and spiritually is our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the light of life. Darkness. So we have light on one side, and as we've read here, there's no darkness in him at all. Darkness is the absence of light. And if light brings life, then death comes in darkness. Because life requires the energy of light. And without the energy of light, you have death. So light brings life, and darkness brings death. And the ultimate being who represents darkness is Satan, right? The devil. Because the Bible teaches us that the devil is a thief and a robber. And he came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's what he came to do. And so we want to walk in the light and not in the darkness. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so there is God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Praise Jesus. Now, number two for the sun. Number two, the sun radiates out, right? The sun is a big ball of flaming gases, and electromagnetic waves radiate out from the sun and reach the earth to bring life. And so it's constantly going out, 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 just like God. God is outward. God is the epitome of unselfishness and sacrifice and giving of self. And we see that through the giving of his son, Jesus, right? To take away the sins of the world and to walk among us and to be the sacrifice and even to experience death on our behalf so that we don't have to. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, our bodies will die, but he who lives and believes in me, said Jesus, shall never die. Thank you, Lord. And so there's this outwardness that the sun has. And you know, as the sun is outward, 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 it's burning up, isn't it? And if we were to live long enough, and we won't, but if we were, the sun would eventually burn out because it's giving of itself. And of course, God, he can give of himself for all eternity because he has an infinite amount of power to give. And so, but the sun, though, the sun keeps giving out, giving out, giving out. And therefore, over a long period of time, is diminishing. And this, remember what John the Baptist said of Jesus? He must increase and I must decrease. And you see, serving Jesus has this element to it as we're giving out, giving out, giving out, right? The outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And so I want to read some scriptures that illustrate our ministry. It was the same ministry of Jesus, of giving out of himself. Jesus gave sacrificially. He was the light of the world in this way, emanating out. And so we too are to have that same ministry of just living for others, living sacrificially and living unselfishly, just like he did, so that others can experience life. So let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Moses had gone up to the mountain, and he spent time with the Lord, and he said, God, I want to see your glory. And God said, I can't show you my glory, right? Glory as in light, and you'll die. And he said, but I can show you my aftermath, my vapor trail, so to speak. And he hid him in the cleft of the rock, covered it with his hand, passed by, and then declared himself to Moses. And then Moses came down from the mountain after having been with God, and his face was shining. It was glowing. And it was like that way for a time. In fact, the people said when he came down, "Whoa, your face is glowing. Can you cover it?" And so he covered it. He veiled it. They didn't like the light. "Whoa, we're not comfortable with this. Cover that." And so he covered it. And then the Apostle Paul is taking that and saying, look, that's the old covenant. And how Moses got the law, and the people couldn't handle it. They said, veil it. But he says, we now, having experienced the glory of God in new covenant times, New Testament times, we are to take that veil off, and we're to let our light shine for the world to see. And then he goes on to explain here in chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, shameful behaviors. We've renounced those things. The things of darkness, we've renounced those things. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. And isn't that what the light does, guys? It manifests or makes known the truth. Is that the right time? Sorry. What in the world? Okay, let's just move on. It makes known the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled or hidden in darkness, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The people who are perishing are not going to get it. They're not going to understand it, and they're not going to see. And so they're veiled. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Going all the way back to the very beginning, where darkness was over the earth, and God said, let there be light, and boom, there was light. He commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. His light has shone in our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, as we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, as we step into the light and go, God, I'm just stepping into the light with all my junk. It's all revealed and exposed, and you can see it, and I'm confessing it before you. And here I am, I'm recognizing it, I'm acknowledging it, I'm admitting it, and I'm going, I need a Savior. And he says, good job, son, good job, daughter, for stepping out into the light. And now, like a physician who takes that bright light at the surgical table, he can begin to cut away with his scalpel, right? But we, as we step into his light and we confess our sins before him, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to clean us. But if we remain in the darkness, and God's saying, hey, come on out. Lord, I'm kind of embarrassed and ashamed to come out because, I got some things, and come on out, let me deal with it. Yeah, I don't know, I think I'm going to stay right here. Thanks anyway, though. And continue to live in darkness and practice the things of darkness. How can we have fellowship with him? How can I have fellowship with you if I'm back here? Hey, everybody, how's it going? There's no relatability, and even to stop talking. All right, we're going to have a fellowship now. What? That's kind of fun. Oh, okay. So God wants us to step out into the light. into the light. Now, stepping into the light means to reflect that light to others and to enter into ministry. And this is what the Apostle Paul is speaking of, and this is what we're talking about, because remember, back to the point here, radiating out light, disseminating light, giving of self. But we have this treasure, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Speaking of the light that has been given to us by God in our earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It's the Lord who does the work. It's the Lord who shines his light on us. And just like plants who are receiving that energy from the sun so that they can synthesize the CO2 in the water and create carbohydrates for growth and to flourish, we too step out into the light of God. And he pours his light on us, and the energy of God is given to us so that we can serve and we can disseminate that light to the world. But it doesn't feel good in the flesh, but it's worth it. Listen to what Paul says. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested or made known in our body. Verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested or made known in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And so like the sun giving light, giving light, giving light, we too, as we take in the light of Jesus Christ, are disseminating that light to the world. And there's death in us, but there's life in them. Death in me, life in you. And if you've experienced this, you know what I'm talking about. And maybe it's just leading worship on a Sunday morning, like Pastor Greg and his team does, and Cheyenne and this team, and they all had to sacrifice time. And they maybe lost some sleep. They maybe they sacrificed other things they could be doing, and instead came here to let their light shine and to minister. And so it is with the ministry, isn't it? And being a light. And it was the ministry of Jesus as he gave himself and gave himself and gave himself all the way to the cross. Awesome. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. This is Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so here Jesus is saying that we should let our light shine before men and not hide it. And how do we do that? It's our good works. It's our good works towards others. It's our ministry for the Lord. And as the Lord is working in and through us, and we're showing love through our actions, we are letting our light shine, just like he is light. And in him, there's no darkness at all. And so, he radiates out, and we too radiate out to the world. Number 3, light. Light reveals and exposes. It reveals and exposes. You know, I don't know if you've ever experienced darkness, like real pure darkness. Like gone to a cave, he visited a cave. There's a cave in Colorado called the Cave of the Winds that I went to many, many years ago. And they said, okay, we're gonna shut off the lights now. And they shut off the lights, and it's a really eerie feeling, you know, to be in utter blackness. Because yeah, it's dark at night, but there's still stars and there's, you know, street lights or something, you know, the moon, a sliver of the moon. There's light, you know, it's around. But when you're in a cave and it is total blackness, you can't even tell how far away your hand is from your face. You know, it's hard to discern anything. All your sense of direction is gone, you know? Which way is which and who's where? And you're afraid to even take a step. You just want to freeze and just stay there and not move. And that's darkness, right? But light, oh, thank God for light. And they flip those lights on, and now I can see, and I have my sense of, oh, okay, that's over there, there's there, and there's the exit, thank God, you know? And you see, and your path is illuminated, and it becomes clear. And the Bible, of course, says that his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And it gives us the way, and it reveals truth, right? I mean, in darkness, you don't even know what color things are and exactly where they are and how big they are. And if you're trying to move through darkness, trying to travel through darkness, well, then you're going to fall. You're going to stumble. You're going to get tripped up. And so we need the light, and God is our light. He's our true compass, our true north, and he shows us the way. And then he is also, remember, the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, darkness, on the other hand, conceals and keeps hidden. And that's why people love darkness rather than light, because they don't want their evil deeds to be exposed. Let's look at that in John chapter 3, verse 17. This is the conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus, that great Jewish Pharisee teacher who came to see Jesus at night to ask him some questions. In John chapter 3, starting at verse 17, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's the ministry of Jesus Christ, is salvation. Verse 18, "He who believes in him who is not, he who believes in him is not condemned." If we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, we're putting our trust in him for salvation, then we are not condemned. The gavel does not come down and go, guilty. Praise Jesus. It says, innocent. Hallelujah. We are not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. It already happened. It happened with Adam. And it was passed on from him and on and on and on and on, that condemnation. And so Jesus, that's why he didn't come in to condemn the world. The world's already condemned. But instead, he came to save the world from that condemnation. And so it says here, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Nobody who is doing evil deeds wants to be exposed for that. They don't want to come into the light, because in the light, their evil deeds will be exposed. They will be seen for who and what they really are. And so people like to hide in the shadows and stay out of the light. Verse 20, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. And so we have a choice to step into the light or to remain in darkness. And we know what it's like to remain in darkness, even as believers, right? Even as believers, I know, at least I can speak for myself, I've fallen into sins that I was very ashamed of and that I didn't want anybody to know about. And I want to come across as more spiritual than I really am. And so I'm going to try and take care of this without it becoming public knowledge, without people knowing, because that would be really embarrassing. And so if we want to remain in that sin, we won't even come into the light of Jesus Christ and confess it to him and say, God, it's yours. I don't want this. Take it, Lord Jesus. Take it. I don't want it. But we've got to. We've got to come clean with the Lord. He knows. He sees in the dark. He sees in the dark. And so we come clean. And of course, as those that are unbelievers, the first step is to come into the light. The first step is to acknowledge the sinfulness and say, you know what? I'm not going to be in the dark anymore. I'm going to call a spade, and sin, sin, and this is separated from me from God. And so I'm going to step into the light. And Jesus says, welcome. Anybody who comes to me, I will in no way cast them out. And he receives and he forgives. And it's a beautiful, wonderful thing to come into the light, to come into the light. And so the Son, just like God, gives energy for life, radiates out and reveals and exposes. And so on the flip side of that coin, as we're out letting our light shine before men, as we're serving the Lord the way that he calls us to, then we're like, hey, yeah, look what God's doing in and through me. And you can be proud of what God's doing in and through you. And I can be proud of what God's doing in and through me and give him glory. And the people see it and go, wow, that person used to be this and now they're this and they're doing that and they're showing love. And it shines light on them, the Bible teaches us. It even exposes them to oh my goodness, this, I don't do that. Am I good enough? No, come into the light and receive the goodness of God and watch him transform your life and change you. Let's go back to 1 John and close up here. And so God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice that one of the points up here, one of the reasons that John wrote this, is assurance of salvation. If you want to be assured that you are saved, well, this thing is kind of, I shouldn't bang that. If you want to be assured that you are saved, then walk in the light and not in darkness and forsake the things of darkness. And you'll have assurance of salvation. And there are those that are saved that will dabble in the darkness. And those that are not saved that might look like they have some light in them. And so they're in the shadows, right? There's this shadowy area. And you wonder from the outside, are they saved? Are they not? They profess Jesus Christ, but look at their lifestyle. Well, they're doing good things, but at the same time, it doesn't seem like they have any kind of relationship with the Lord, I wonder. And you just don't know, and you can't judge, because salvation belongs to the Lord. But do you want to be in that gray area? I don't. I want to have assurance of salvation. And so assurance of salvation is to walk in the light and to just continually be before the Lord and say, I'm basking in your light, Lord. I'm basking in your light. I'm receiving my energy and my strength from you, God. I'm confessing all my sins before you because I don't want anything to hinder my fellowship with you. I want to have fellowship with you. And so I do the very best that I can. I make every effort not to sin. And then I slip and fall because I have my flesh and to deal with. And then I go, oh, man, I slipped and I fell. God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And he says, I forgive you. You're clean. Because what does it say here? It says when we step out into the light, we step into the light, we're walking in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We're all sinners in the sense that we are still in the flesh and commit sins regularly. And so we cannot say, I have no sin. We're deceiving ourselves when we say that. But the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And so we have to deal with sin. It has to be dealt with. And praise Jesus that he has provided a way. And that way really begins with a recognition of, gosh, I am a sinner. I have sinned. And my sin has separated me from God. And then I become a Christian. And I say, God, forgive me of my sins. I come into the light. And he forgives me, and his blood washes me, and his blood cleanses me, and I'm pure, and I'm clean, and I walk in that cleanness with confidence that I'm saved, and assurance of salvation. And then I make every effort not to sin. But when I do, I lean back on the cross of Jesus Christ, and I once again receive the forgiveness from the Lord. And so it's appropriate today that we're taking communion because communion, right, is remembering what Jesus has done on the cross for us, his body that was broken, his blood that was spilled so that we could be saved and cleaned and forgiven. And guys, the reason that the Bible has instituted communion as a regular sacrament in our lives is because we forget. And as believers, we can slip into condemnation and we can slip into holding on to shame and just holding our heads low and going, I am just a loser and I'm worthless and I'm nothing. But when we take communion, the point is in this, my friends, is to receive and be reminded of what Jesus has done and that our sins are cleansed and we're washed and we're clean and we're pure. And we can hold our heads high and we don't have to be ashamed any longer because we're clean and forgiven. Isn't that beautiful? The work of Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And so that's what we want to do today is take communion to remember and to receive, but also to confess. This is a great time, right? The Bible teaches us to examine ourselves. To examine ourselves and just go, Lord, what's going on in my heart? And then to just give it to him, to just recommit to the Lord and say, God, I'm yours. I'm stepping out into the light. And I'm taking this bread to remember your body that was broken for me. And I'm taking this cup, which is the blood of the new covenant. And I'm going to receive that cleansing and that forgiveness. And then I can walk away rejoicing in the reality of my forgiveness and my salvation and have fellowship with God and an assurance of salvation and have a bounce in my step and head out with great confidence.